This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
No heart in the city. No Le Batard, no Stugatz. It is Peter Burns, Katie George here on a Friday in a show. I should say KG, as we're going all initials on the show today. After everybody got understood the bromance of me and CD, Chris Doering, hosting on Monday, KG, we're doing that. We've got CC, Chris Cody, a.k.a. Chris Content, BG, Billy Gill, RB, Roy Bellamy, and Antonio! Hey, Antonio, how do you spell AC? How do you... I think AC works for you today. I think AC is easy. I can't pronounce your last name, so it's good.
It's Kalatayud.
Kalatayud. Perfect. I would have absolutely butchered that. Hello, Katie George. How are you? Because we've got to talk about how hippos are deadly, National Tequila Day, how you almost got fired when agreeing to do this show, and the Saving Private Ryan... don't laugh. We're telling that story later. In the Saving Private Ryan rabbit hole. And oh, by the way, we had opening day for baseball in a bevy of different games today as well. Hello. Oh. Hi.
Hi. Hello. Hello. I want to circle back. I think Roy's RBs.
Mm-hmm. RBs. RBs? RBZ? Why?
RBs.
You're going to go RBs? Arby's. Oh, RBs. All right. You good with that?
Do you like the roast beef sandwich? The beef and cheddar? Curly fries? No. Jalapeno poppers? Roy's like disgusted.
I don't want to make the joke that just popped in my head, so I'm just going to stay safe and move away.
Yankees beat the Nets, our Nats last night, 4-1. Game called in the sixth. We had a little opening day. I'm going to get the Dr. Fauci's fastball in a little bit. Dodgers beat the Gigantes 8-1 yesterday. Clayton Kershaw obviously pulled on the DL, 10-day DL back injury. And so you ended up having Dustin May get the start. First rookie, I guess, since Fernando Valenzuela to get the start for the Dodgers on opening day. They're like, I almost feel... Katie, that as soon as the Dodgers saw that Major League Baseball expanded from 10 to 16, they're like, Clayton, shut it down, bud. We don't need you today. We're good. We're getting in. The rest of the NL West is a complete dumpster fire. The Rockies, the Padres, not going to be able to do anything. So we're good. You relax a little bit more. But what did you think? Little opening day, did it whet your appetite enough here?
I think it was the most 2020 thing I've seen. The fact that opening night, the first game only goes five innings, and then, hey, that's the result that you're going to get. There was lightning striking in the background. It was visual. It was awesome. And it was a rain delay, and they had rain up to their calf, shins, whatever, in the dugout. Mm-hmm. I kind of was laughing to myself, like, oh, my gosh, this is totally... should be expected at this point, right? Because everything has gone awry in 2020. But when we did shift to the West Coast, watching the Dodgers and the Giants, I thought was pretty enjoyable. And hey, sports are being played, so I'm all for it. I'm watching these games. I'm taking in whatever content I can that's sports related, whether it's a winner and a loser.
She is Katie George. You can follow her on Twitter at Katie_George05. Myself at Peter Burns ESPN. 2020 sucks. Let's just say what it is, right? The whole year just stinks. You want to hit the whole Nintendo reset button, just blow in the cartridge and be like, we're trying this whole puppy once more. Because, like, we hadn't had what? You know, Dan was talking about on the show yesterday, 134 days we've been in this Saharan desert just walking aimlessly through sports content, which this is the only show that could actually pull off such a said thing. Like, everybody else has floundered. The Le Batard Show has just taken off because I'm not sure how much sports you do on this show anyway, and that's why everybody loves you. But we finally get sports, right, Katie? I sit down, I tell my wife, I'm like, listen, put the kids to bed, I'm watching this, we got baseball, Dr. Fauci comes out, and I'm like pumped. I'm like, all right, am I going to hit my parlay that had him actually throwing a strike and wearing the mask at the same time? And then we see a 50-cent, like, first pitch, right? So I already knew it was off to a bad start. Combine that as soon as the game's about to start, we get a 7 minutes thunderstorm here in Charlotte, North Carolina. Power goes out for 4 hours. Power goes out for 4 hours. I've been dying to watch one flipping baseball game, Katie George. Power goes out, and it was double middle fingers to the skies. And to be like, here we are, 2020. Complete, right?
I had no idea. You poor thing. Okay, so 4 hours without the power. Now you're back up and running, though. So did you just, follow along on Twitter as your phone hopefully didn't die?
Well, but then it was that, how do you conserve enough energy, right, on your phone to tweet, to go through, but then you don't know how long you're going to get it. So it's like being, you know, stranded, and you're like, I've got this much water. How much do I conserve, knowing I don't know when I'm ever going to get power back?
Yeah, no, it's exactly like being stranded.
Right. It was the riches of rich people problems of all. But ultimately, we saw the Yankees ended up beating the Nats 4-1. We saw that Gerrit Cole, how about this, 17-0 now in his last 23 starts, exactly how the Yankees start. And remember, Billy, we were talking about this before the show today. In a 60-game sprint, each one of these wins now is basically 2.7. There's like a multiplier effect. So, you know, I mean, for the Nats, who did not have Juan Soto in that lineup, it's like starting 2.5 games out right off the bat.
When you look at the season, a 10-game win streak or whatever would be like in a normal season would be 16 games or something. I messed up the math. There's no way that that's right. But the point is, you could basically mess up your entire season just getting swept, because that'll count like as, you know, I'm not even going to figure out the math. You know what? This sounded a lot better before the show.
You know what, Katie, was it not part of the thing where Billy did the math and he goes, we're almost already mathematically eliminated as a Miami Marlins fan? That
he did say it. And I want to ask you this question, Billy. With opening day coming up for the Marlins, I've seen some entities are going to have fake crowds, like actually CGI'd in, so you're going to see fans in the stands. They've obviously chosen to pump in crowd noise, which I actually enjoyed, and I've been a proponent fighting against it. I thought it was fine last night as I watched the games. Do you think that the Marlins should get full capacity in the CGI fake fans?
I knew that's where this was going.
It's so funny that you asked that, because when I read the story, I was thinking the same thing. I was like, I wonder if they have like settings where like the bigger games, they're going to fill up the stands completely all the way. And like the lesser games, like on a Wednesday game between like the Marlins and the Pirates, if we're going to like scale it back a little and be like, okay, this is one where we're going to put 7,000 fans, where like a marquee, like Red Sox Yankees, it's like, okay, full capacity. We're going to dial it up to 40. By the way, I figured out the math again, because that was horrific what I did before. So like, if you win 6 games in a row, it would be like winning 16 games in a row in a regular season. So all of the games are important.
So going back to the fan thing, Katie, I think it's perfect, because for a Marlins game, you're going to have 7,500 fans there socially distant. Like, I feel like the Marlins, you could at least continue with the social distancing thing that's going on. And then if you're going to CGI people, they show up like third inning, especially in the good seats. Is that...
It's terrible.
Is it terrible or is it true?
I mean, it's true. And that's fair. Like, if we're going to have this, if you're going to CGI and go to the length of actually putting fake fans in the stands from an optic standpoint, I mean, let's at least document it accurately, right? Take the averages from last season's fan attendance, and that's what should be in the stands.
It makes perfect sense. You can follow her on Twitter, Katie_George05, myself at Peter Burns, ESPN. Coming up, how Juan Soto was, what, tested positive, and then all of a sudden he's got two double negatives, which might be a positive. I don't even know how Major League Baseball is doing their testing at this point. Welcome back to Levitard Show with Stu Gotts, Peter Burns, Katie George. Filling in today, getting ready for the weekend. ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Quoting home insurance just got easier with Progressive Home Quote Explorer. Quote and buy all online at progressive.com. Fingers crossed we're going to get a little bit more baseball. That doesn't get rained out later today, as the remaining MLB teams are going to be in action. Fingers crossed, Katie, that you and I are going to get to watch college football this upcoming fall. Joining us right now, the head coach of Florida State Seminoles, Mike Norvell. And coach, very important question, or actually more a learning thing that I wanted to bring up today. Today in 1998, Saving Private Ryan was released. I'm sure everyone's seen it, and except Katie George couldn't remember which movie it was. I'm sure you've seen said movie, right, Coach?
Absolutely.
Okay, right. So with that being said, did you know that Garth Brooks was almost cast in the movie, but after Spielberg and Tom Hanks decided to take the movie, Garth Brooks said he didn't want to be overshadowed, and so he pulled out of the movie. Spielberg then called Garth Brooks up and said, listen, I want you to be part of Saving Private Ryan, okay? And you can pick a role, just tell me, we'll keep you in. Garth Brooks then replied, "Well, I want to play a bad guy." That didn't quite work in the movie, therefore Garth Brooks was not in Saving Private Ryan. Do you feel like that story I just gave you added any to your day today?
Absolutely not, but I appreciate you sharing.
I appreciate that. Okay, Katie George.
Could you imagine, Mike, thank you for joining us. Could you imagine what it's like for me sitting across from him for the next 3 hours? I just want to put that out there. Thank you for joining us. Obviously, a lot of unknowns. Obviously, new information coming out every single day about the college football season, what will be the college football season. For you as a head coach, how do you keep guys focused on the task at hand, mentally, physically preparing to have a start of a season when there are so many unknowns circulating around everybody?
You know, the message doesn't change. I mean, our focus, you know, whether it was in December when I obviously accepted the job here at Florida State, and or whether it was in March as we were going through preparing for spring practice and all of this hit, it's you control the things that you can control. And every day, as we prepare for what the future holds, it's just trying to make sure we're being the best version of us in whatever we're asked to do and however we're asked to do it. You know, it's just about that continual improvement. And you know, it has been an unbelievable experience that we've had to go through, and it's unlike anything that any of us have ever experienced before. And but our guys, I think, have responded really well. And whether it was virtual meetings, you know, a lot of the voluntary workouts, you know, all of the emotional swings and things that they're having to go through, you know, it's just making sure that you're staying focused on the day and don't get so caught up on what could happen or what might become. Just stay focused on trying to be the best version of you with this opportunity. And if we can do that, then regardless of what happens, whenever they say that we can, you know, get on the field, whenever they say we can play, whenever, you know, we get the opportunity to play a game, then we'll be as well prepared as we possibly can be.
What's been one of the biggest challenges for you in your first year as a head coach taking over, trying to navigate through COVID as well as building relationships with new players, you know, via Zoom, via phone calls and stuff like that?
Well, you know, really just making sure that we're utilizing all resources and, you know, trying new ways to be able to connect. And that's one of the things that we've, you know, done throughout this process. I mean, it was amazing. We were sitting there in May, and we, you know, one of our coaches were talking about it, that, you know, technically we had been here for 6 months, you know, on the job, but really had only been around our players for half of that time. And, you know, just but trying to find ways to continually build those relationships at distance, making sure that, you know, that these guys knew, you know, are getting an understanding of who we are, what we're all about, and just trying to help provide them. And, you know, we've got a football team that's extremely hungry to be successful. And, you know, we're trying to lay out and build that foundation of what it takes to get to that point. And, you know, it definitely has been, you know, some bumps in the road in regards to what they're having to face with the COVID and you know, quarantining and, you know, a lot of the regulations that have kind of been put on everything. But, you know, our guys, I think they've responded really well.
Mike Norvell, head coach at FSU, Florida State University, joining Peter Burns and Katie George here on the Dan Le Batard Show. Coach, how many of your guys have you asked right now, person to person, do they want to 100% play this upcoming season, even knowing the risk, would say yes?
Well, I mean, it's one of the things that we've presented to our team, and as we've gone through this this off season, you know, there's been a lot of voluntary workouts. You know, obviously, we just started back, you know, this past week with mandatory workouts, and but you know, we've been very open with not only our players but our staff that you know, if it's something that they're uncomfortable being you know, being a part of, or if they were uncomfortable, you know, putting themselves in a situation of, you know, being around people, that, you know, we fully support them in their personal decisions, and that's one of the things that we've openly talked about as a team. And you know, I could tell you that our guys, you know, they're excited about what the future holds. And, you know, we know that there's still some uncertainty, some unknowns, but our guys are here, they're working, they're doing a great job. You know, the challenge that they have is to make sure that, you know, that we're doing everything in our power to you know, follow protocol, to maintain the social distance, to keep everyone safe, so we have an opportunity to play the game and coach the game that we all love. And so that's been the biggest thing. And I can tell you, like, our guys, you know, they I think they're very confident in the plan that we've been able to implement here at Florida State, and to be able to have access to the facilities and you know, all the things that have gone into it to ensure their safety.
What's the workflow with you and David Coburn there, the athletic director? Is it a daily phone call of a status update on if college football is being played, or how does this work?
You know, we've got a great relationship, and we definitely stay in touch with any update that we're made aware of. You know, we've got a very open dialogue, and then we'll have a weekly call just to make sure that we're touching base on a variety of issues that have come up, you know, throughout the course of a week. And we're trying to be two steps ahead and making sure that we have plans in place and backup plans in case of adjustment. It's been a really good working relationship.
Mike, how have you and your coaching staff explored different options and approaches to practices? Like, say, not having your ones go against your twos, or keeping maybe your quarterback room separate, or cross-training your safeties and corners maybe to run routes just in case. Like, have you guys explored any just kind of different approaches to practices given the just weird landscape we're in currently?
You know, we've had a lot of open dialogue as a coaching staff. You know, the kind of within the leadership group of our staff, and then down to all aspects, and just trying to take all thoughts and ideas of what could potentially be a situation that we'd want to explore, and then you also making sure that we're aware of all the updates and the things that are coming out, so that we do have a plan in place of keeping guys at distance and making sure that guys are keeping that spacing so that you don't have a big hit when it comes to contact tracing and things like that. And so there's been a lot of discussion about it. We've made a lot of adjustments throughout how we're going to meet, where we're going to meet, what that looks like day to day. Obviously, there are individual and group drills. I mean, we're exploring every single option.
Last question for Mike Dovell here, Florida State head coach on the Dan Le Batard Show. When do you expect a decision will be made by the ACC and FSU to play ball?
You know, I think the ACC put out a statement that here towards the end of the month, they're hopeful to have a decision on the direction that we're going to go and what that next step's going to be. I mean, I believe that the leadership within the conference, obviously our coaches within the ACC, I think have done a really nice job throughout this process of being an open dialogue and communication. And we know that there's a lot of decisions that have to be made with the medical advisory, their committee that's been great throughout this process as well. So I know that we're working through it all, and we're excited about a decision being made. And then we know the direction of the next step that we're going to get to take.
Fingers crossed, because Katie will be covering those games. We'll be talking about it here on radio. By the way, full circle here, before Tom Hanks was offered the role for Saving Private Ryan, Mel Gibson, Harrison Ford, and Ed Norton were also discussed to play the role. Would any of those three have worked as well as Tom Hanks?
I'm sure they all would have done a fine job, but I think they got it right with Tom Hanks. And so,
Mike, feel free to hang up and just not.
Well, I'm just glad that Peter's given me some ammunition for my next trivia game that I get to play. I get to reach into to a new bag of not saying worthless information, just maybe not as valued as other information.
It's pretty worthless. I completely understand that, but at least someone would be like, "Wow, Coach, I didn't like this random favorite board game." What's the favorite board game for Mike Norvell right now? Clue, checkers, Monopoly. Where are we going? Life.
My daughter loves Chutes and Ladders, so that's what I play.
Classic.
Boom. There you go. See, I learned something new about Coach Mike Norvell there. Coach, we appreciate the time. Thank you for dealing with us this morning. And best of luck to your guys coming up this upcoming season, all right?
Thanks, Mike.
All right, thank you guys. Have a great day.
There it is, Mike Norvell joining us here on the Dan Le Batard Show. Did he, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you think he hated my line of questioning there, Katie?
I just want to know for
seven?
You in the first question, like, as you were asking it, like, did you think, like, abort, like, where are you going with this? Did that ever cross your mind as you
now
were
once I was 45 seconds into my opening windup, I figured I was so far into the Garth Brooks story that I couldn't just parachute out of it, no pun intended, because it was Saving Private Ryan. Giancarlo Stanton had the magic stick last night. goes yard. That the ball is still carrying, by the way, that he hit off Scherzer. Yankees defeat the Nats 4-1. That was your sports that you'll probably get for the rest of the show. Peter Burns, Katie George here on a Friday, the Dan Le Batard Show. All guests, hypothetically speaking, if they were to come on, it would appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance line. Pennzoil synthetic motor oils made from natural gas. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil, based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. Now time for Katie George's Sports Center update.
Pete, you just mentioned it. Opening night is in the books. Yankees beat the Nats 4-1 in six innings due to the rain. Garrett Cole got his first win as a Yankee. Max Scherzer with the loss, but he struck out 11. Giancarlo Stanton, 2-for-3 with a homer and three RBIs. The Dodgers on the West Coast defeated the Giants 8-1. Enrique Hernandez went 4-for-5 with two runs and five RBIs. Mookie Betts with his first hit as a Dodger went 1-for-5 with a go-ahead run. Before the game, Clayton Kershaw, though, was placed on the injured list due to a back injury. These days, it's good to be prepared, and that includes your vehicle. That's why Advance Auto Parts has free battery testing and installation with no appointment needed. And also curbside pickup on any order. Advance your auto parts at Advance Auto Parts and participating CarQuest locations. See store for details. For all the latest headlines and information, tune into SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day. And finally, the first character, Peter, to ever fart in a Disney movie.
Mm-hmm.
Can you guess who?
I know the answer of this only because I read the show notes. Who did not read the show notes? Who did not read the show prep today? Billy, AC, Roy? Okay, AC, you read it or no? You did not read it. Okay, thank you. AC, can you take a guess? Can you take a gander?
I'm going to say Pluto.
No, Billy, you didn't read the show notes either?
I didn't see this part. I'm going to think Goofy.
Okay.
That's a good
Roy,
guess.
Did you read the show notes?
RB?
No, I did not.
Okay.
I would have
nobody reads
say...
Chris Cody's show notes. Okay, I love this.
How does it make you feel, Chris?
It's like, yeah.
Like, you put it all together.
I really do. I do it for you guys, though, more than them. So okay. It's okay.
You care to take a guess, Roy?
I would probably say Sneezy.
Guys.
Okay, yes.
He's a warthog.
Chris, go ahead and give everybody the answer.
Oh,
yeah,
Pumbaa.
Like
Pumbaa,
yeah,
from Lion King.
The obvious choice.
The obvious choice.
The first
obvious
farter in there. Disney history.
Thank you. On the heels of that SportsCenter update, Katie George, Peter Burns here on the Dan Le Batard Show. I love Major League Baseball. I love what they do this year because Major League Baseball to me, Katie, is probably one of the most like stuck up. Maybe is the wrong word, but I feel like they're all high and mighty about 162 games and for love of the game and we're numbers driven. You got to do this, and then this year is all about, you know what we're gonna do. How about universal DH? Yeah, throw it in. How about an extra innings runner on second base? Sure. How about every reliever that comes in has to face three batters? Okay. Also, legitimately 4 hours before the start of the season, they're like, I don't know, y'all want to add six teams to the play? Add it. Do it. Why not? It's like they're shopping on Amazon and like all of this stuff comes up in the little box. Like, would you also like to people have also
customers
ordered this?
Customers also bought this.
Yeah. Just put it in the shopping cart. I mean, what did you think? Going 10 to 16 teams in the playoff legitimately 4 hours before the season starts.
So I was on air with Chris Carlin at like 6 o'clock. We were getting off the air on Wednesday and the breaking news came down that, hey, MLB union, they're now in talks that they might expand this thing after it's all said and done. They've also got 25 hours at this point to make the decision before first pitch. And I thought, God, like, this is the most typical MLB thing. Like, the Blue Jays don't even have a home park to play in. Okay? They are homeless. And you guys are like, yeah, you know what? Instead of 14, which is what we were discussing the whole time through all of our arguments and negotiations, what do you guys think about 16? Like, that sounds like a great idea. Let's do that instead. Like, maybe find the Blue Jays a place to play before going to the, I mean, I don't know. It's just weird. It's typical. It's just borderline, like everything we should expect at this point in 2020. You said it. You were like, you know what? This is the year. Try some crazy stuff.
Get weird.
Get weird. It's unprecedented. Do
this
something like different. And
this,
here we are.
This season of 2020 in sports is like Halloween, where you always want to be kind of a freak and dress up differently than what your normal character is and just be like, I just want to kind of get out of my comfort zone. Major League Baseball finally did it. Roy, you bring up a good point here about what Major League Baseball doing what right now?
They've made more advancements in the past 3 months than they did in the prior 145 years of their existence.
Seriously,
all the
right?
stuff they've done so far.
At yeah. least changed it, and guess what? If none of it works, Katie, they can just blame the pandemic. They
sure.
can say, well, it didn't work. Universal DH was bad. We didn't like the three-batter minimum. You know what? 2020 was a weird old year. And then guess what? They go back to being normal, boring baseball right off the bat. And that's fine, but that's what, truly what they are. Like, they have a chance to get people excited about and get back to the game that was America's pastime, and I'm not sure if it still is right now, Katie.
Well, I want to make it clear. I'm all for expanding the playoffs. I thought that was a decent idea given the fact of the state of where we're at when they were going through the original negotiation. So I'm cool with doing 16 teams. I think it's going to be fun. It's going to be different. Obviously, it's a chance to recover the lost revenue, which we can both agree makes a lot of sense. I just think it's so typical MLB that it happens in the 11th hour, right before they're supposed to have opening day, they're going to go back into negotiations about this. Like, that's the crazy part about all of this, in my opinion. Like, I'm fine if you're going to expand the playoffs, but, like, seriously? Like, get it together a little bit.
I always thought getting into professional sports and professional media, Katie, like, I thought once I got behind the scenes, I would understand that professional sports is really well run. Right? Like, everybody crosses their T's, dots their I's, they're all in suits, they're the smartest people in the room. They're not. They honestly are not. They are no different than us. They procrastinate on things, they absolutely screw up things left and right. It's just they're in a position of power. And guess what? We will watch it. And I'll tell you, I actually watched it. Wish Dr. Fauci's first pitch would have been just a little bit better.
So were you expecting it to be? I know you're kind of
something.
Skirting around it, but were you expecting it? Have you ever thrown out a first pitch?
I have.
And how did it go?
Double-A baseball threw a 74-mile-an-hour heater. I honestly thought I hit like low 90s. I mean, I thought, I got a YouTube video of it. I'll send it to you in the break. I thought I'd absolutely crushed it. It was on my birthday, San Antonio Missions. That morning, I had Nolan Ryan call in for my birthday, and I was like, I need some advice on how to throw a first pitch. He goes, are you throwing off the mound or not? I said, I think I'm going to throw off the mound. He goes, what you need to do is you need to aim about 3 feet higher than the catcher's head. Because what happens is so many people think that they're throwing off a flat ground.
Where
so
was
if you
he?
Throw and you throw off the mound, what happens is you go straight down. That's why so many people go you know, straight into the ground and just throw a one hopper.
You basically described my entire first pitch experience.
Who'd you throw it out for?
The Brewers, when I moved up there to take over as the sideline reporter for the Bucks.
Humble brag. I'm sitting there like double-A ball in San Antonio Missions. There's like 19 people there, and seven of them are my family, and you're like brew crew.
Yeah, there were thousands of people there. It was a big deal. I also, too, thought like it'd be a flex to throw from the mound. I even practiced like in the Bucks gym prior to going over to Miller Park. I went off the mound right after an 11-year-old threw it, this 11-year-old girl. She's at the front of the mound, heats it in there, great job, straight line, totally crushes it. I like high-five her, you know, like showing camaraderie, like as she's coming off. I go to the top of the mound. I threw it fast, like straight line. I was proud, like I was on target.
A heater.
Literally, I'm looking at the ball over here on my bookcase. Like, you can see the dirt mark. It hits right before the plate and bounces into the catcher's glove. So, like, I don't know. If you were behind the plate, like, those fans might not have seen it bounce. So, I don't know. But, yeah, I could have used that advice of, like, aim 3 feet higher than the catcher's head.
Now you know. If you ever throw out a first pitch anywhere, just aim about 3 feet higher than the catcher's head. Show Peter Burns, Katie George, back with you. ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. Tune in NL East rivalry this Sunday. Mets hosting the Braves, presented by Geico. Coverage of Sunday Night Baseball begins at 6 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app, and 7 p.m. over on ESPN. We were just commiserating together in the commercial break about how 2020 has just been a dumpster fire inside of an actual dumpster fire, Katie. So quickly, around the horn. Outside, Gerrit Cole, that's somebody who's having a good 2020. Signs with the Yankees, gets his first win yesterday, 17-0 in his last 23 starts. Gerrit Cole having a good 2020. Who else in your mind having a good 2020 as we get ready for this season?
Mookie Betts.
Mookie Betts. $365 million.
$65 million signing bonus. I mean, that's pretty good. I mean, their still season is weird, but maybe he's having a good 2020.
Went for 1 for 5 last night, but it doesn't matter. Guy gets paid. The money is coming to him. Chris Content, what do you got? Good year.
I mean, Jeff Bezos, didn't he make $13 billion in like a day a couple weeks ago?
Solid minute. A solid second. For that second right there just made him $84,000. He just made it another one right there. AC, give me 2020.
Elon Musk has had a pretty good 2020.
Decent. Wait, BG, because we're doing all initials today. Wait a minute. Billy, you're upset because he ended up taking Elon Musk from you?
Back to back. I was going to say Bezos, and then I was like, oh, man, Chris Content took Bezos. I need to figure out someone else. Oh, well, Musk finally had a rocket that didn't blow up and made it into space. He's having a good year. And now the two of them are gone.
Okay. So you're going to give nothing to this conversation.
Who's
so
having a bad
blanked.
Year?
Well,
who's
everyone,
a bad
I think,
year?
Who's not having, like, well, Juan Soto.
But I think that, okay. I think there's, like, some that are having an even worse year. Like, you could maybe say Kanye is having maybe not the greatest year ever.
Not the greatest year. Roy, give me good year. Who's got a good year right now? Give me a positive.
Patrick Mahomes.
How was that not the number one? Billy, how did you not get Patrick Mahomes at this point? Like, he was right there on the draft board, and you let it slip from you. Incredible. You're still reeling because AC took Elon Musk. You have one you're off the board.
You know who's having a good year?
Yes.
Mike Norvell's having a good year because he got that fact about Saving Private Ryan.
Mike Norvell. There was a lot of coach speak in that interview earlier today. Katie, am I wrong? I like Mike Norvell. Listen, the bar was set pretty low for Willie Taggart. Let's be honest. With Willie Taggart and what he did in Tallahassee, the bar was set extremely low. And Mike Norvell can do better than that. I assume he's going to give 110%.
He absolutely okay. He should do better. He's got a stacked roster. I have to go down there and cover those games. You do not,
yes.
Mr. SEC Network. So
I'm pulling. Actually, I am pulling.
He did
for him
like Saving Private Ryan, so there was a plus.
I'm pulling for him at Florida State because I want someone to give Clemson a run for their money in the ACC because it's been a little moonwalk. Michael Collins joining us next. Levitard.